Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19. Beautiful portion of Scripture. I want to read this verse in context. Hebrews 10, 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful, the promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you'll help some things be established in our hearts or strengthened, Lord, or something we've already settled. May we just recommit. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us to be found faithful when you come. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. One of the challenges of, ministering in this age, in this day, in this culture is the disconnect I think people seem to have with this matter of getting saved and then the amount of time afterwards that it takes them to really kind of catch on and grow and go. And I say folks are not starting from zero anymore. They're starting in the negatives. It takes us a long time to get them to zero so we can start get them on the path of growth. But at the same time, I guess I long for a simpler day. Or maybe it's just because of our personal experience. I feel like, why doesn't everyone do that? But, you know, when we didn't go to church, it's because we were lost. And then when we got saved, Mom and Dad got saved, and you know what? We started going to church. Okay, so lost people didn't go to church, and saved people went to church. And they didn't just go every once in a while. If they were saved, if they were Christians, they went to church. Now, to me, it's not all that complicated. Okay, if you're lost, you don't come to church. You don't have to come to church. You probably don't want to come to church. And maybe, by the way, maybe I can help some of you right there. If this is a drudgery to you, and honestly, you just kind of make yourself come, and you never enjoy church, and you don't be around God's people, and you're never challenged by the Word of God, I mean, I'm not being facetious. I would encourage you to check your salvation. Because the Bible says that newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that they may grow thereby. And folks that just feel like, I look at their faces, and every time they do come, they just feel, you know, you'd think someone put a gun to their head and made them be here, and they're sitting there upset and mad and angry that they had to come. Come on now, that's lost people don't much care about coming to church, don't have an interest. Saved people ought to be excited about coming to church. At least that's what happened in the Ross family. You know, Dad wasn't a Christian, therefore he didn't go to church. When he became a born-again Christian, I think he just figured, Brother Joe, that came with it. And it wasn't, well, let's start out our first 6 months coming Sunday morning, and then the next 6 months we'll add Sunday school. Then the next 6 months we'll start Sunday night, and then maybe 5 years from now we might check out the Wednesday night service. No, when they got saved, guess what? We came Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. You know why? Because we were Christians now. We were Christians now. And so, well, preacher, you just, you know what, if you'd have known the Bible better. Well, I think my dad had it right. I just think he had it right. And so I want to encourage you young people to just at a young age nail this thing down. Make church attendance a Bible conviction. To me, attending church is not a preference. It's not something I do if it's convenient or if it works out. It's not something I do if I don't have to sleep. It's something I do. Are you looking up here and listening to me? Okay. This whole idea of, well, you know what, I got to work, so I couldn't come because you were at work. I get that. I don't get this. Well, I'm working that night, so I couldn't come because I got to sleep. I'm sorry. I don't get that. Okay. I've come to church tired a lot of times in my life. I've come to church with very little, but you know what? It's because church is a Bible conviction with me. It's not a preference unless I'm providentially hindered. Unless God has made it an impossibility in my life to be at that service, then I'm going to be there. Lord willing, I'm going to be there. I settled that a long time ago, okay? And And I don't mean, listen, not only am I tired sometimes when I come, sometimes I don't feel good when I come. But it's a Bible conviction with me. Okay? Listen, young adults, toughen up. Okay? If Junior's sick, it doesn't take mommy and daddy both to stay home and hold the hanky over his nose. Come on, toughen up. Make it a conviction. And I settled it a long time ago. And so for many of you, this is a way of life. And I want to say this, and I mean it from the sincerity of my heart. Thank you, thank you, thank you for the Blessed Hope Baptist Church members that I never have to worry about in this area of my life. If I was cruel enough, I could list them. There's about 7 families right now that honestly, if I don't keep after them and contact them either through the telephone or make a visit at least once a month, they just keep drifting off the scenes. And then the preacher goes and he talks them back into coming for 3 or 4 weeks, and then they start drifting off again. And then I've got to chase them down. Where's brother? Have you seen someone? I don't know. It's been a few weeks. I've got to go by and see him again. If everybody did that to me, I'd never get anything done but that. And I know that sometimes, preacher, that's part of the job. All right, it's part of the job. But it shouldn't be. But it shouldn't be. I wonder how many of these Christians are going to stand before the Lord and say, I want you to show you how much of your preacher's time you took just chasing you down, getting you back in church when he could have been out winning people to Jesus Christ. I mean, it would be so much better if we just did what Bob Ross did in 1966 when he got saved. All right, we're a Christian family now. We're born again. That means we're going to Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, unless we're providentially hindered. We're going to be in church every time the doors are open. They have special services. We're going to be there. They have revival. We're going to be there. Kids, don't ask. You don't have to ask ever again from this day forward, forever and ever, until we go to heaven. We're going to be in church. End of conversation. And so I never got up on a Sunday morning and said, hey, we going today? I never... 5 minutes, 10 minutes before we're supposed to leave. Hey, we going Sunday night? We didn't have to ask those questions. It was a part of our life. And let me say this, I was blessed. I was blessed because my parents made that decision. But I mean this. I want to say a thank you, and I've got it written in my notes. Don't forget to do this, to the faithful members of Blessed Hope Baptist Church, to the faithful attendees. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. And I could list you, and I won't. But you know what? Never, never in the history of your membership here has either Pastor Bob Ross or Pastor Jerry Ross had to come to your house and say, what's the deal? Where you been? What's going on? Why aren't you coming Sunday nights? Why aren't you coming Wednesday nights? What's going on? Never, never, never have we had to make that visit. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. I think that it's very, very pleasing to God. Now, I want to give you some Bible reasons. Preacher, you're saying that church attendance ought to be a Bible conviction. Absolutely. I want to give you some Bible reasons why I faithfully attend church and Bible reasons why we all ought to faithfully attend church. Number one, I want to be obedient to God. The Bible says here in Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. God knew that it would be, and especially in the last days, this great time of falling away, that people would take less and less serious the assembling of the Christians and the assembling on the Lord's Day. He said, don't be one of those that begin to partake in forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. So much the more. It's not time for us to begin to start becoming unfaithful. It's time for us to lock in like we've never locked in before. I want to be obedient to God. I believe it is a command of the Bible that I be at the assembly unless I'm providentially hindered. I do not forsake it. I do not leave off of it. I do not excuse it away, that I'm there in my place every time the church doors are open. I believe it's an act of obedience to God. If God has commanded us to do that and we do not do it, then if we disobey a command of God in Pastor Jerry Ross's I said it's a sin. If there's Blessed Hope Baptist Church members tonight that right now are sitting at their house and they could be here, it is a sin against Almighty God. It's a sin. It's a sin. And so I don't want to sin against the Lord. I don't want to be disobedient to a clear command. Number one, I want to be obedient to God. And so this is a Bible conviction with me. Number two, I want to be like my Savior. Go over. I'm going to have you move in your Bible some, because I want you to establish some Bible convictions. Go over to Luke chapter number 4, if you will. Luke chapter number 4. And we see that God has placed in the Scriptures the example of Christ in this area of faithfulness to the assembly. In Luke chapter number 4 and verse number 14, Luke chapter 4, verse number 14, we read, "And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him throughout all the region round about, and he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was." Now that little phrase there is not by accident. This helps us to establish Bible principles in this matter, in this area of faithfully attending the local assembly. I understand that he met on the Sabbath as opposed to the Lord's Day. I understand this is the synagogue and not the church. But the principle of faithfulness to the assembled place of worship and instruction while Jesus was here on earth is established with this phrase, "as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read." I want to be like my Savior. Bible reasons I faithfully attend church: I want to be obedient to God, and I want to be like my Savior. If you know me and you've listened to me, you've heard me say the ultimate goal of the Christian life is to be like Jesus. Well, there's no way in the world that I can claim Christ's likeness and be unfaithful to the assembly of the believers. And so if Jesus made a custom or a habit, a life habit of assembling, I want to simply mimic his example. So again, we're giving you Bible reasons. Number three, I want to be an encouragement to my pastor. Let me have you go over to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 7. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 7. Preachers, preachers don't get discouraged. They shouldn't get discouraged. They're supposed to be better Christians than that. I'll agree with you, we probably should be better Christians than that. But let me just say this, we're human too. And it is very discouraging, as I mentioned ago, to have this constant list of members and people that I'm always fretting over and I'm always worried about and I'm always wondering if I've seen the last of, simply because they haven't locked in this area of their life. It's encouraging to me to see faithful people. Hebrews 13 verse number 7, "Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation." Now, God's given you a pastor, and that pastor works hard and studies and prepares to bring messages that will strengthen your family and help your kids and help your marriage and help you grow in your Christian life. And I'm not exaggerating when I say many times one sermon will be 4 hours, 6 hours, 8 hours in preparation time. And I show up and I understand it. You know, folks are genuinely sick. We don't call at home and say, "Okay, why aren't you here? What was your temperature? I want you to bring a doctor's excuse." You know, we don't do those things. But shame on you. Shame on you if you're not really sick. I mean that. I always say this, you know, ladies, if you invited a bunch of folks over and you spent all day Saturday getting buying and preparing the food in advance, and then Sunday morning got up early and cooked and came to church, and you'd had 10, 12 people that had committed to come and promised to come, and you put days and hours into preparation, and you stood there and looked out in the parking lot and none of them showed up, I'm going to tell you something, you wouldn't be a happy camper. And it is discouraging for pastors. I mean this. And on the other side of that coin, what an encouragement. What an encouragement just to know that when I walk in here and sit, I can look at different places around the auditorium and I don't have to check your spot to see whether you're there. You're going to be there. You're just as faithful as can be. And so that's a big encouragement. Now, listen to me. I had four men. That I have called pastor in my life. Four men that I've sat under in my life. And I want to tell you this. Not a one of them ever had to spend 1 second worrying about whether or not Jerry Ross was going to be faithful to the services of the church. I'm not asking you to do something I never did. I'm saying every Christian ought to be an encouragement to their pastor by just being in your place, faithfully attending the house of the Lord. Number four, another Bible reason. I want to be encouragement to my fellow church members. I want to be an encouragement to my fellow church members. Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. We read this, but notice this, but exhorting one another so much more as you see the day approaching. See, folks, church attendance isn't a matter of just coming in and sitting down and not corresponding or communicating with anybody around you, just coming in, sitting down, looking up, getting what you need, and then leaving. It's about exhorting one another and encouraging each other in the faith. Hebrews 10:25. And so when you come, you're an encouragement to your fellow church members. Maybe that Christian that's growing in the Lord and they've watched you and they begin to come these extra services and they see that you're faithful. It challenges them to also want to be faithful. You're there to encourage a new family that came this morning to see a young boy baptized. You're there to come up and say a word of encouragement to them. You're there to make them feel welcome. You're there to help people as we read through these prayer requests, and different people have different needs in the church. And what a blessing to be able to come up before or after the service and, hey, I want you to know I've been praying for you this week, and I got an email about your prayer request, and I want to tell you I've lifted you up this week to the throne of grace, and I want you to know you can count on my prayer. To be a blessing and encouragement to fellow church members, that's one of the reasons that we assemble. Guess what? You can't do that if you're not here. Not only that, but your absence is a discouragement to other church members. Number five, Bible reasons why I faithfully attend church. I do not want to miss the message God has prepared for me. I don't want to miss the message God has prepared for me. Most of you know this. I won't have you turn Romans 10:17. Jot it down if you want to. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so God has a message prepared for me. I said, God has a message prepared for me. As a church member, that's the mentality that you ought to get. You know what? God has a Sunday school lesson prepared for me. I don't want to miss that Sunday school lesson. I think most of our church members don't have this problem, but it seems to be a problem sometimes with folks that are acclimating into the church, where they've got this mentality that Sunday school is for children and church service is for adults. You know, your bus workers run into that sometimes with your bus parents. You know, well, I'll send the kids to Sunday school and then we'll drive into church. And I understand when you're first getting folks to come, you'll take whatever you can get. But somehow we've got to change that thinking. You know, we don't just have children's classes. We have adult Sunday school here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. It's another Bible teaching time, and it's an important time, a strengthening time. We get into some wonderful things in that class. And so, there's something there. There's a message being prepared. There's something that God wants to communicate. And we see in Romans 10:17 that the strength of our faith is linked to the hearing of the Word of God. People that tend to be strong in their faith are people that are faithful to church attenders. People that are weak in their faith tend to be people that are hit and miss when it comes to church. I can't tell you how many times, and I understand the growth process, I get it, but how many times I have a Sunday morning attendee only will stop me at the back door and want to ask me a question that had they been there last Sunday night, they would have had answered. And what I encourage them is, I'll answer that question, but let me share this with you. I covered this 2 weeks ago on a Wednesday night. The best way that you can grow in the Lord is to be faithful in your church attendance, because there's things that you're going to have answered that you don't even know you have a question about yet, and you're not going to get all that you could get if you're not there. And so I just don't want to miss it. I just figured that when I was going to church, I just figured, you know what, that Sunday school lesson, God had something in it for me. And that Sunday morning service, God had something in it for me. Sunday night and Wednesday night, God was going to show me something, teach me something, strengthen something in my heart. And so I just wanted to be there. And I think one of the reasons that my faith has been strengthened and I'm strong in the faith, it's linked to the idea of, thank God, first of all, godly parents that saw to it I was in church. And then my decision as a young man to continue that in my life and be faithful to the house of God. I don't want to miss the message God has prepared for me. I want you to go to John chapter number 20, and I'll give you number 6 here. Bible reasons why I faithfully attend church. Not only do I not want to miss the message God has prepared for me, but I especially don't want to miss what might be a life-changing service. John chapter number 20. We see that this is the first Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, and we see the examples of the disciples as they are gathered in the upper room. John chapter number 20, if you're there, verse number 19. Then the same day at evening, same day Jesus was raised from the dead on Sunday, first day of the week. There it is, being the first day of the week. When the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. This is a pretty life-altering encounter. Something special happened at church at the assembly this morning, okay? Then said Jesus to them, peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, receive you the Holy Ghost. Wow, that's quite a service. Whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins you refrain, they are retained. But Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. I want to just share something with you. Oh, preacher, you know, we're bugging out again. I know we've had 17 weekends off and 17 vacation weeks, but we're going to bug out again. But we'll listen to it on the website. I want to tell you right now, I have been in services where a sermon has been preached, and you have too. And I've listened to that same service after the fact, thinking I was going to regain that moment. And it's not that the sermon's not good, Brother Joe, but it isn't just hearing it on electronic. It's being in the presence of the message as it's delivered, and the presence of God, where two or three to gather together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. And you know what? There's the presence of God. There's something that happens when Christians assemble and the Word of God is preached. And you will never, by listening to it, you may be helped, you may be blessed, you may be challenged, but you will never recreate that moment that only those folks who were there experienced. And so let's forget this nonsense. Well, I'll sleep, and then I'll just listen to it later on in the week. How about you not sleep and come to church, do with a little bit shorter amount of sleep, like I did for the 6 years that I was working third shift. Don't look at me like I've never lived this. Okay, for 6 years I worked third shift. I know what it is to go to church, and on my church days, just get very little sleep. You know what I did on those days? Got very little sleep. You know why? Because church attendance was a Bible conviction with me. Okay, it wasn't something I did when I just felt like it, or when I was well rested. It was something that I did. Okay, so I don't want to miss what might be a life-changing service. You know, I'm glad that the day morning that I got saved, my mom and dad decided to be in church and take me there. I'm glad that the service that we went to on a Tuesday night that wasn't even at our church, I'm glad I went there. I got called to preach that night. Are you listening to me? I mean, we can't get folks to hardly come to our own service, let alone ever go to an extra service. I mean, I don't know. We just always thought we were supposed to go. Okay, preacher come up and said, hey, the church next door is having a church. Let's go over there and support that. We didn't just sit there and look at him like, oh, I'm not missing NCIS. Okay? We didn't do that. We just thought if the preacher said that, maybe we ought to go over to that other service and support that and be a blessing to them. You know, we had a strange mindset. Preacher got up and asked us to do something, we did it. I know we were probably just a bunch of mindless robots or whatever you want to say. But you know what? The power of God fell, and some pretty good Christians were produced, and some miraculous things happened. And so instead of trying to think of a reason not to, why don't you just say we're going to get her done? We're just going to figure out a way to do it, and we're going to do what we need to do. And so you never know. Parents, you never know. when God is going to speak to somebody in your family's heart. You'll never know. You can't plan it. You can't say, God, here's my schedule. Now make sure that the message that we need to hear. No, you don't do that. You just come. You say, preacher, is every service life-changing? No. Is every service life-altering? No, but every service is helpful and beneficial and would help you in some way. But there are those times when you have life-changing, life-altering services. And you know what? You can be like Thomas and not be there. But you notice what happened to Brother Thomas when they gave him the report about what happened? He tried to downplay the miraculous that happened. He tried to downplay it. He said, well, that's what you say happened at that service. But I'll tell you right now, you think you might have seen Jesus, but unless I put my fingers in the nail, you know why? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Thomas was weak of faith because he was sporadic in his faithfulness. He was weak in faith because he was sporadic in his faithfulness. And so, listen, I don't want to miss that. I can't guess when those times are going to be, but I'm going to tell you something. I'm not exaggerating. I know it doesn't happen all the time, and it may be one or two times a year, but I'm going to tell you, as I look back at the course of my life, literally, there's probably 20, 25 sermons or services in my life where my life was forever altered. And if I'd have had a sporadic view of church attendance, how many of those would I even been at? And where would I be? And so I don't want to miss that, okay? Number 7, I want to be a good example to my lost neighbors. I want to be a good example to my lost neighbors. Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 says, ye are the light of the world. Then it says this, a city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Ye are the light of the world. A city, Matthew 5, 14, a city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Oh, my neighbors don't know whether or not I go to church. Oh, you just don't understand lost people. Of course they do. Say, how do you know that? Because Bob and Donna Ross knew if the Purcells were at church or not. When we were lost, Dad gave testimony, I've heard him give it, that you know what, they would look out the curtain on a Sunday night and see whether or not the Purcells were going to church or not. You see, folks, lost people don't trust unfaithful Christians. They're looking for a reason to point at you and say, well, they're just a hypocrite. When you come over and witness to them, they don't want to hear it. They don't want to listen to it. They don't want to be convicted by it. So they put your life under a microscope and start watching for inconsistencies so they can say, okay, they're just fake anyway. And I wonder how many people are going to end up in a devil's hell because of church members sitting home on a Sunday night, church members sitting home on a Wednesday night, church members sleeping in on Sunday morning, and lost people looking and say, oh, yeah, well, she gave me a tract 2 weeks ago, I guess somebody must be sick again. Ha, ha, ha. Okay? And so I want to be a good example to my lost neighbors. People are watching in this community. People are watching in your neighborhood. And this is important to me. I've said this before, and probably it's because of the manner in which God chose to bring our family to Christ. But I'm going to tell you something. I believe everybody ought to look at your neighborhood like a mission field and understand you have a responsibility in that neighborhood of setting an example of faithfulness to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I'm going to be a good example to my lost neighbors. I don't want them looking over and seeing us sitting at home while church is going on. Number 8, I'm talking about making church attendance a Bible conviction. Number 8, go to Proverbs chapter 23. Proverbs chapter 23. And look, if you will, once you get there, Proverbs 23, look at verse 26. I want to be a good example to my lost neighbors. Number 8, I want to train in my children the habit of faithful church attendance. I want to train in my children a habit or the habit of faithful church attendance. Proverbs 23:26, my son, give me thine heart and let thine eyes observe my ways. Now, I don't know how you soothe your conscience, and by the way, I'm preaching to everybody that's here tonight, but I don't know how you soothe your conscience. I just don't know how Christians soothe their conscience sitting at home on a Sunday night and that knowing that their kids are walking back and forth looking at them or sitting in the same living room watching TV looking over. I don't know how you soothe your conscience. I don't understand it. I don't know how you answer their questions. I don't know how you handle that. I don't know how you deal with it. But I'm telling you something, you're teaching your children something. You're teaching them something. And I want my children to be raised and trained in this matter of church attendance. I want them to know, you know what, Mom and Dad is faithful to church. We don't wonder about it. We don't have to ask about it. We don't have to pray about it. This is the way our lives are going to be. And you know what, when we watch them, we're going to see a pattern of faithful church attendance. And so, yeah, folks, please, please, please. I tell the story from time to time about a lady when we pastored in Brazil, Indiana, that came to me after church service in tears one day. And she, literally in tears, and she handed me a piece of paper with the address of her lost children on it. And she said, would you please go try to win my children to Christ? And I said, ma'am, I will. And I said, they all live here in the area. And she said, yes, none of them go to church. She said, no. And I said to her, I will do the best I can. And I didn't ask her any question beyond that, but she shared this with me without me asking. She grabbed my hand and she said, preacher, she said, I feel like it's my fault that they're lost. She said, there was a time period when we were going, when they were real little, we were faithful to church. There was a time period then when they got on up and got busy in activities, it got easier and easier just not to go. And then something happened at church that we didn't really think was right, and so we used it as a reason or excuse or whatever you want to call it, to just quit going. And so for about 10 years, the key years, those teenage years, we just checked out of church, and then they went on up, never got saved, never received Christ, and now they're out in the world and they're lost. And preacher, please try to go win my children to Christ. By the way, I went and seen every single one of them. I kept my promise to her, and I talked to them all about salvation, but I was not able to win one of her children to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm saddened to say that. But listen to me, folks. I'm telling you, you're not always going to be a young couple. You're going to be a grandma and a grandpa one of these days. It's not just going to be your children you're brokenhearted over. Please hear me. It's not just going to be your children you're brokenhearted over. It's going to be your grandchildren you're brokenhearted over. And there's no rewind button on life. You don't get a chance to go back and do it a different way. And so you say, well, not everybody that was faithful to church, their kids or grandkids are in church. No, but they got a lot better chance than you have not being faithful to church. I'll tell you that. And I understand kids get up to a point in time where they have to make a decision for their life and people will choose. But I'm telling you, I don't want to stand at the judgment seat and have my children point over at me and say, why didn't you keep us in church? Why didn't you keep us faithful to church? I don't want to have to bear that in my life. I'm not saying this to hurt anybody. I know there's people in here say, preacher, that lady's testimony is some of my testimony. I'm not saying it to try to hurt you. I'm saying it to encourage our young couples. Keep those babies in church. Okay, not everything's always going to go right. Not everything's always going to seem fair. Sorry, that's just called life. I wish I could make it perfect. It's not. But you know what? I never went to church saying, I'll tell you what, I'll come here until the first thing that doesn't happen exactly the way I think it should have, then I'm checking out. Okay, I never went with that mentality. We're going to be faithful to church. Okay, so I want to train my children in the habit of faithful church attendance. Number 9, I want to be faithful to church, especially so that my pastor will feel confident in assigning me an area of service. I want to be faithful to church so that my pastor will feel confident in assigning me an area of service. I didn't want to just go to church. I wanted to minister. I wanted to serve. I wanted to be able to be trusted to do something. Proverbs chapter 20, we're real near there, so if you'll go over a few chapters. Proverbs chapter 20, verse number 6. Proverbs chapter 20, verse number 6. Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find? I do understand that. And you know what? It's a rarity. It's almost like the Bible says, virtue makes a woman a rare as a ruby, and faithfulness makes a man equally rare. But a faithful man who can find? As a pastor, let me give you some insight. I hope you'll understand this. Please listen to me. But you know what? The number one requirement, the number one thing I look for when I need to find somebody to do a job around here, the number one thing I look at is, are they faithful to the house of God? To me, that's number one. That's first on the list. Because if they're not faithful, then if they're not faithful to attend church, how would I or why would I think that they would be faithful to carry out an assigned duty at church. And so faithfulness to me is the baseline. It's the starting point. I want to be faithful. I want my pastor to be able to say, I've got a job to do, and I can trust him to do it, because you know what? He'll be here. Unless he's providentially hindered, he'll be here. He'll be in his place. Now, let me just say this, folks. We've got folks that are checking out of service opportunities and finding reasons and whatever to not be involved. And I think a lot of it is the fact that, you know what, if you're going to be involved, you know you have to be faithful. But let me just say, and I'm not saying that about everybody, and I know everybody's situation's different, and I always hate preaching this, because my older, aged folks who for them, a lot of them, just getting here Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night is a challenge. And they're the ones that will sit out there and feel bad for not doing more. And some of you young rascals that have the energy and the health to be here, not only be here, but to get here and serve, it doesn't seem to move you. I'm not saying and preaching this message for my senior saints. I mean that. God bless you. You come as you can, when you can. You be faithful. There's people that are dealing with health problems and health situations some of you are aware of and some of you aren't aware of. But I think the preacher's aware of most everything. And I tip my hat. And if some of our older folks aren't here sometimes, you know what? Folks, don't throw stones at them. You don't understand sometimes. Wait till we get 70, Brother Joe. My goodness sake, wait till we get there. And mercy. I don't know. But I told Cheryl the other day, I'm such a sissy. If I hurt this bad at 50, I don't know how these people in their 70s are making it at all. I don't know whether to pray for long life or a quick exit. I don't know which to pray for anymore. But I mean it. God bless you folks that come and honestly, physically suffer to come. I'm not exaggerating here. We've got faithful people that never miss, that some of you young people pay little attention to and really don't give them the respect they deserve. And it is physically painful for them to go through the process of getting there, getting in the car, getting to church, sitting here for the time. And yet, you know what? They never miss. They never miss, or seldom will they ever miss. And other folks dealing with some things that just prevent it. Bless. Got a sweet call from Brother Ron this morning. And Brother Ron calls me. If Ron Vessel's not here in church on Sunday morning, he called. Brother Jerry, Pastor, I'm so sorry. He said, we had all our clothes laid out last night. Mom was up night all last night hacking and coughing. And she's invalid, at an invalid stage where Brother Ron doesn't feel comfortable. You know, if that house were to catch fire or something were to happen, emergency, no one's going to get Mrs. Vestal if Brother Ron's not there. But he calls me every Sunday morning if he's not going to come. They can't make it. I get it. Mrs. Vestal's 90, how old? Oh, Lord, please. Don't do that to me, please. But I mean, some of you are praying for long life, and I'm praying for a quick exit. I mean that. I'm just like, Lord. I've said this to our family. You ask my family, I'll say, listen, if I ever go down in full stride heading somewhere, healthy on my feet, and I go down, boom, I'm in heaven, listen, don't you all sit around the casket and weep and cry over Pastor Jerry. I think I may have been one of the lucky ones. I'm not just saying that. I mean it. Now I'm going to die this week. And they're going to say the last sermon he preached, the man at least was a prophet. He predicted. But bless your hearts, you know, getting old's not for sissies, and it's tough. It is, and I take tender care. I've taken a few minutes to have some fun with this, because the last thing I want is anybody that's elderly and are sacrificing and going the extra mile to be here sometimes when I think I ought, as your pastor, come home and, or come down there and bawl you out for coming. But you'll be faithful, and you do it, I know, to set the right example, and thank you so much for it. Now, I mean that from the bottom of my heart. Thank you, thank you, thank you. But you know what? If they couldn't do that, it ought to shame the rest of them. It ought to shame the rest of us that just look looking for any excuse in the world just to not make it. It ought to. But listen, I'll get the church directory some out, and there'll be a need. And we have something we need done in the church. And I'm flipping through, seeing who I could, as possibilities, and just church directory. And sometimes I'll just say, boy, you know what? They'd be good for that. They'd be good at that, but I can't get them here faithfully. They'd be good at that, but I can't count on them. Well, you know what? They got the gifts and they got the personality for that, but I can't count on them. And I'm sorry, but I'm just not going to plug unfaithful people into faithful positions. You need to be at your spot. Sunday school teacher, shame on you. I mean it. If you've got Sunday school kids that you teach on Sunday morning and they were to come to church on Sunday night and Wednesday night and you could be here and you're not here, shame on you. I mean that. I don't know how you live with yourself. I don't know how you live with yourself. You know what? If you cause one of these little ones, Jesus said, to stumble, it'd be better if you put a millstone around your neck and throw you in the lake. That's what Jesus said. If you cause them to stumble, I mean, you know that? That's what it says. If they be offended, that means to cause to stumble. Look it up. Look the word up. I don't want to cause one of these little ones to stumble by my poor example. And come on. We're going to get to heaven and kids that would have made it didn't make it because a bus captain decided to go AWOL. Or a Sunday school teacher decided, you know what? Well, how much do I have to come and keep my job? Shame on you. I mean that. I hope you're shamed. I hope the Holy Spirit of God's convicting your heart. These young people deserve better than that. They deserve a better example than that. And I want them to see, and they are deserving to see, church members and a pastor that's faithful. And when they come, you know what? They can count on them. And so I want to be faithful in this area of service, and faithful to church, so that the area of service that my pastor has assigned me, he doesn't have to worry about it. He doesn't have to worry about it. I'll be there. I'll do my job. And so take that to heart. Bible reasons I faithfully attend church. Number 10, the last one. I want everyone to see that church is as important to me as it is to Jesus Christ. I want everyone to see that the church is as important to me as it is to Jesus Christ. Ephesians 5:25, I'll read you the verse. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Jesus was willing to die for the church. That's how much he loved it. He was willing to sacrifice. He was willing to give. And boy, I wish God would give us a revival in the hearts of God's people towards love for the local assembly again. Just a love for the local assembly, a love for the church, a love to assemble, a love to be there. I want everyone to see that the church is as important to me as it is the Lord Jesus Christ. Preacher, is church attendance a Bible conviction with you? Absolutely. Years ago, I nailed down these 10 Bible reasons why I would faithfully attend church. And you know what? I've preached them and taught them. But I want to tell you this also. You're not listening to a hypocrite. I've lived them. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, help us in this area of our lives, Lord, to shore it up. I pray, Lord, that you would cause us to be, again, a faithful people. Lord, I know I'm preaching to the Sunday night crowd, but Lord, even here on this level, dear God, sometimes unfaithfulness begins to creep into our lives. I pray that you'd help all of us to recommit to this idea of being here at church, that church is important, and having that testimony before our family and a lost and dying world, to come to hear the word of God, to have our faith strengthened, to encourage our pastor and to encourage the brothers and sisters in Christ. And unless, again, we're providentially hindered, we would be where we ought to be when the doors are open at the church house. Again, thank you for a faithful people, dear God. Thank you for a faithful people. And I pray, Lord, that you'd help us in this area of our life. Help young people to settle it now. I'm talking about elementary kids. Just settle it. You know what? For the rest of my life, I'm going to be faithful to church. Teenagers, just settle it. You know what? I don't care if I'm 15, 16, 18, 21, 25. You know what? Unless I'm providentially hindered, I'm going to be faithful to a good, old-fashioned, independent, fundamental Bible-preaching church. I'm just going to lock in. I'm going to serve. I'm going to be faithful. Help us in this area, we pray in Jesus' name.